is if you can, share this with some of your friends on Facebook, you know, people you may know. Please share it so we can get this word out. If you believe it's good for you and someone else needs to hear it, please feel free to share it with those you know. Amen? This way we can pass the word out. So last week, there were a couple of questions I asked, and one of the questions was a reflection and discussion. And one was, do I value a good name more than material success? Do I value a good name more than material success? What do you think about that, Brother Jermaine? Yes, yes. And we live in a society right now with Facebook, TikTok, all those things give you that material success, but you lose value because you're chasing after likes and you're chasing after people who want to see what you're doing, and you're compromising who you are. And we're seeing it constantly each and every day. Another one is here. Number two says, how am I training and modeling godliness for the next generation? And that's a big one right now, because as we're talking about it, we're talking about what's happening in society right now, TikTok, Facebook, all these other things. Are they modeling godly values? Yes, you can find it. You can find it if you're looking for it, but the algorithms are set up that it's going to feed you what you look for, you know. And even if you're modeling yourself after looking for biblical content, you'll still see some other stuff show up in your feed to try to draw your attention, you know, because one thing they know about, they put them algorithms together to know your pattern and know your personality, know your likes. So they feed that. They feed that. And the next one says, yeah, read number three, please.
Number three says, am I living within my means or am I enslaved to death?
Am I living within my means or am I a slave to death? That is so important. And a good segue, shameless plug, August 5th, we're going to be starting Biblical Finances, God's Way, starting on the 5th of August. So if you want to be a part of it, it's going to be on Tuesdays at 6:30 to 7:30. So please come be a part of it. You want to work on those finances, you're looking to purchase a home, wherever you're at, we're looking to try to tap into those areas that's going to help you develop and be stronger in your biblical finances. So it says, am I living within my means or am I enslaved to debt? And so many of us find ourselves enslaved to debt and not living within our means, you know, because we want the next best thing, you know, because society tells us, yo, you got to have this, you know, television, commercials always feed you what's next. And sometimes they'll feed you what's next. You look at what you got and you're like, man, I done fell behind, but what I got ain't good enough. And it's still doing what it's supposed to do. You know, it might not be the latest and the greatest, but it still does what it's supposed to do. You know, and we get caught up in that and think we gotta have it, and we spend beyond what we have. And we find ourselves in debt, and now we gotta figure out how we're gonna get out of it. You know, and that's what the enemy wants us to. He wants us to be enslaved to debt. And God letting us know he supplies our needs. You know, and we chasing after more stuff. You want to read number four?
Yeah. Number four says, do I speak and act with grace, humility, and honor?
Do I speak and act with grace, humility, and honor? You know, too often, and I was guilty of it, I spoke how I felt, what was going on in the moment, and thought about it later. You know, and I've learned to hold my tongue, not say nothing, and just listen, receive, You know, and it's so important. What do you think about that one?
I think that lately I'm training myself in practice this like often. Just when I'm by myself, so when I get in front of a pressure situation, I can perform how I practice not under pressure situation. And instead of responding so fast, I used to respond so fast, and I used to be like, why would I say that? God, I'm gonna think back that like I could have said something different. Why would I probably hurt them? I don't even feel that way anymore. But now I take like a split 2 seconds, sometimes longer than 2 seconds. Sometimes I might not respond at all, I might give it a day. If I don't got nothing nice to say, I ain't gonna say nothing at all. But when you sit back and you wait to respond, you don't respond from a hurt anger, you respond from a maturity anger, from with wisdom. And that I realized that helps prepare the future. Instead of trying to get a response out of it now, I used to feel okay in the moment. But then after that, I'm like, yo, I messed up. So that 2 seconds before you respond out with a different perspective than what you're used to, I think it's really important. And it saves some relationships.
Yes, definitely. Anybody else want to comment out here in the audience? Anybody want to share on that?
Red mic.
Strongest muscle for like really because your tongue and what you speak can really shift and shape like where your life or you know could go or should go
or someone else's life you know and sometimes we don't even realize how what we say how could it affect someone else. It's not just what us. Yes and it's important because sometimes we speak and everybody don't know you, you know? So what they hear is what they perceive and it becomes their reality, you know? So if they hear you speaking in anger, they hear you speaking this way, this person is angry, you know? And the enemy wants to look for a way to point a finger. He's an accuser. So any opportunity he gets to point a finger at you, he gonna take that opportunity, you know? And that's why we have to be mindful, very careful. Yeah, you seem like you want to say something else. Okay, number 5. It says, how am I investing in the poor and the vulnerable? You know, that's a big one right there. And often, we don't think about those things, you know, because we're busy living our life, you know, and it's important to God. God wants us to really take the time out to help out those who are in those situations, you know. I know for me, I wasn't always okay, you know, and I want someone to help me out. I look forward to that. You know, back in the days, in my neighborhood, in my projects, you could knock on your neighbor door and say, my mom wanted to know if you could give us some sugar or something, you know? And it wasn't no shame. It wasn't no hurt, you know? You didn't feel no humiliation. You felt love because they was able to provide and you was able to give back to them too, what they need, you know? And too often now, there's a shame to it, you know? So we find ourselves in a corner by ourselves trying to figure it out instead of reaching out to our brothers and sisters for the help that they might have to give us. Do you want to read number 1?
Yep, I do.
That's
one of the 5.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I just want to tell on myself.
Go ahead, tell on yourself.
When I read this last week, I felt so guilty because like I always like lately I've been looking differently, but like when I used to pull like you know terrified of doing the hand and whatever you ask for money, I used to like be in my immature way. I used to be like, man, I work hard, I wake up, honestly, like before you get to ask me, I have $1 coming up from my window, that's like $90. And they used to go the other way every time they didn't want to talk to me. And I felt guilty reading it last week, like I need to do more, I need to give back to more. Like I pour it to me, not to pour out to others. But then I thought about it, I might not be giving financially, but lately I've been catching myself pouring it
That's so big right there. Now, question for anybody in the audience. Do you think pouring into them spiritually is more important than just giving it to them financially? Come on. Come on up here. And I'm not saying all the time. This is not what I'm saying all the time. Okay. Go ahead.
We have to be very careful with that position. Because there's a mandate in the word that we take care of the poor. There's a mandate. So you can't negate that because we think other people. I'm smiling because, Jermaine, you know, I live on, you know, right there. But I see plenty of them, so they're there all the time, right? And there's some of them are panhandling. They just, you know, some of them are, they're just so down in their luck that they don't think there's no other way to do it, they're going to do it this way. But that's not our decision to make. God told us to take care of the poor. Now, the poor doesn't always mean financially. No. There's a flip side to that. And if we give them the word, as Paul, as Peter and them said at the man, money's, I don't have to give to you. But this I have to give to you. This thing gives you life. And more importantly, any money that I could ever give to you. So there is a left and a right that takes you straight. I don't want to confuse people. Because if you obey the Lord, he says to give unto the poor and to take care of the widows and the orphans, that's what the word says, then you're following what God tells you to do. And all of this, though, we have to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And the Spirit of God gives you the wisdom to know when, how, where, what to do. With that God wants these people to have, not just what we want them to have.
And you know, yeah, you can come on up. And one of the keys that you said, Peter said, money I don't have. So it's different if he had it and he didn't give it. But he didn't have it. So what he had to give was the word, you know, and that was a difference.
I have been seeing like a lot of panhandlers on the side of the road, and I don't know if it is God. A lot of the times their words will say, it'll say, God bless, or just give me a smile, or just say thank you, or just say something to them. Like, a lot of times they're not asking. Like you said, it's not always financial. We can pour into them spiritually, we can pour into them, or even give them clothes, socks, you know, things like that. So I think that is
important. Yes, amen. Amen. All right. You want to go ahead to number one? Okay. On the second page, the questions, where it says reflection and discussions. Got it? Okay. Now we go on to number one. All right. Go ahead. Key lessons.
Key lessons from Proverbs 22. Number one says, a good name is better than great wealth. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold.
Yeah, keep going.
The lesson says, your reputation and integrity are more valuable than material success. And the application says, live in a way that earns trust and honor. Character outlasts cash.
Character outlasts cash. You know, so, and as I was going through that, I'm thinking about that and just reflecting on that. And I'm like, character outlasts cash. And when you work with integrity and honor and when people see you doing the right thing, you know how I talked about my neighborhood, if I needed something and they had it, they would give it to me. You know, and so if I need the situation because of the character that I had, the way I carry myself, the way I do things, they know if I need it, I need it. You know, so it will be able, it will provide the cash that I need. It will provide whatever I need for me, or someone will provide it because of the way I carry myself. You know, so cash wouldn't even be an issue for me. You know, and that's what's so important about that passage of scripture, because a good name is so important. When people look at you or they hear about you, you want it to be in the right state of mind. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. That's a part of human nature. But is it intentional? Are you really out there to do malice or harm to anybody? When people talk about you, are they talking about you as somebody who is of good character, you know, good integrity, who does the right thing for the most part, all the time? You see them carrying themselves in the right way, you know, and that's so important, because we compromise that for material things. And like we were just talking about earlier, we got it with Facebook, TikTok. We got it with people getting into the music industry. You know, they're compromising who they are, their moral character, for money. And then they lose themselves. Anybody want to share on that?
When you guys read this, it made me think about my grandmother so much. Because she's been going for like 2 years now, but even the other day, like, she didn't have like money. She didn't have money to give at all, but like, she was so welcoming to like anybody. If you needed a plate, if you needed a roof over your head, if you needed like that, like she, and it didn't matter where you came from, what you looked like, she was helping everybody. And like I said, she didn't have like any money at all, but like, even when she left, like, it like hurt, but like afterwards, like when I was like thinking about it, like you said, the character outlasts cash. Like, so many values and like so many things. Even to like just last week, I was like watching my son ride his bike and like fell, and like I'm just sitting there and like I could have like went like, but just like little things like the character, like I don't know, like I just still 2 years later, you know, there's the immediate things you think of that, you know, that she taught us. But then even like 2 years later, I'm still realizing like I feel like honestly for the rest of my life, I'm just keep realizing how much she taught me, like, and because of her character, like.
Yes. And that's important. See, this is the thing, and we shared on this early on as we were going through Proverbs. Impact. What is your impact? Beyond the cash that you may leave behind or anything, your impact, that's what lasts forever. That will never die. You know, and so that's the key. What is the impact that you're having in the world that you're living in? You know, I said something, me and Victoria were talking earlier yesterday, and we were talking about doing something that you love. When you're doing what you love to do, it's not work. It's not work. There's a peace. There's a joy that comes with that, you know. And that peace and joy that you feel, it resonates. It resonates. People, I went someplace the other day, and I went to the store, I believe. I went to the store, and I went to purchase something. And a person at the store had such a bad attitude. I mean, like, real bad, like I had no idea what their day was. However, it shouldn't reflect on the people that they're taking care of. You know, we got to be able to separate that, and it's hard. We're human, you know, but there's supposed to be a way we can compartmentalize. How you say, compartmentalize. Those different things, you know, and too often we allow how we feel in the moment to be expressed to anybody we come in contact with, you know, and that's why that character is so important. It's so, so important. Yeah, come on.
Okay, but how we stand before God. Because God is watching the character. social media will tempt us to one thing that we don't need. Because we, you know, we said, look, you really need it. Well, God supplies all our needs. How he supplies it to other people. So, they bless us because they see the godly character. And it's a battle to develop a godly character. Mental, because our mental mindset is being attacked all the time. All the time. I have this 12 statements about how you think at the end of my class. And how you have a good thing. Different ways how people think. That thought pattern comes from at the young age, like when the boss came around and said, you owe me a plum, right? He said, I changed my mind.
Right?
That he stopped to change his mind. That to show you the character in him that he changed his mind about something he thinks you owe, that he owed you. It's not even just a simple thing. But it's just that we watch our character develop over time, atmosphere we live in, who we hang around with, how we receive the word of God, how faith, virtue, and gospel is out there.
Yes. You know, and that's so important. Come on. Yes. And that's so important because, we were talking about this here in service last week. We were just talking about sanctification, that process that we're going through in the development in who we are in Christ, you know, and it's always going to be challenged so long as we're here on this earth. We're going to continue to go through that sanctification process. Amen.
It was something that you said. And we should, even though you said we should not, we should, because the Bible says, don't let your good be evil spoken of, and just shun the very appearance of evil. So if it looks to them like you're doing something wrong, they're going to hold you accountable for it, even though you know the real truth. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a Christian. Yeah. You said you were saved. Why are you doing that? You hold a position in your church. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have to be mindful. And to change our behaviors because they're looking.
Yes, yeah. And if I did say that, I might have misspoke because I said we have to be conscious because the enemy is the accuser. He's looking for the opportunity to show you out of character. Yes. Those are the ones who. Yes. And I shared with someone earlier today, I said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did that to Jesus. You know, they did that to Jesus. They looked for an opportunity to point a finger at him, you know, when their lives were even worse. You know, he didn't do no wrong, but they were looking to be the accuser of him, looking to point some things out to him. Come on, Elder, you wanted to say something? Oh, I guess not. All right.
I'm going back to this part of the statement here that talked about it. Said, where am I? The integrity piece. The lesson. That's the key. The lesson. Your reputation and integrity. Integrity. Pastor Bruce made a statement that you know, we learn to be integral. And I don't know if everybody understands that we're born into sin, which is why we have to learn to be integral. It just does not come natural to us anymore to be integral because we're born sinful. That's the first thing. Second thing is we have to learn not to adapt all we do to make other people understand, but to be godly in all we do so that they'll get understanding.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. So we can't, you know, too often, I'm seeing this in today's world, too often we are repackaging what was the integral way of coming to God so that people don't get offended. and they'll have a desire to come in. But if you water down the word, then it's not the word. The word says, don't add and don't take away. And so we have to be careful that our integrity shows who we are all the time. Because it's not even how much you do in front of people that God is judging us on. It's what you do when nobody else sees you that he really is judging you.
And let me make myself clear, because I wasn't, no. I just want everybody to understand, because I was talking really about how people can perceive us as Christians when they see us doing something or maybe responding in a negative light. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about standing up for what's true. I'm talking about when we respond, when we have an attitude or we get angry and those things, you know, because the enemy will point, oh, I thought you was a Christian. How you going to be having an attitude like that? How you going to be saying
The word tells us not to cause offense to our brothers and sisters. And that just means what you just said. We have to present ourselves in a way that they're not offended. I'm giving an example which sounds far off. If I'm going to use me. New Christian in the church, come to church looking really cute in today's fashion. So my belly's out, my clothes are real tight, I'm built like a brick, and I'm not thinking about nobody in church. But some man, or maybe woman, in the church starts to have a mindset about something that is not godly because of what they see on me. Not necessarily in me, but on me. That's not integral, because you're not presenting God in the light that wouldn't cause someone else to be offended. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Now, and the thing is, we have to be careful too with judging that part, because it's a process, you know. It's a process that people go through, and too often we some young Christians coming into church and they don't know how to dress. They ain't never been to church. They don't know nothing about it. This is all they got, you know. But they're here, and we point a finger at them or we give them a stink eye, you know, and not intentional, you know. It's not intentional, but you see them and. Come on, Pastor Bruce. Come on, let's.
We're gonna move on.
Yeah, we're gonna go on.
This is a new age, and a lot of the young people are thirsty for God, and that's what they're concerned about. How are you going to receive me if I come? They didn't think about the dress. You know, they just think about how you're going to treat me, and then we see them dressed not like we dress, and they can feel that. They can pick that up. So it takes a godly integrity and character. You to allow them to be who they are so that your children go through the process of developing godly character.
Yes.
It takes time.
Yes, definitely.
It takes love.
Yep.
It takes moving on.
Yes. All right, come on. We got one more question, then we're going to go on to number two.
I just wanted to piggyback on Pastor Bruce. What Pastor Bruce said about when the young people come to the church. I myself, when I first started coming to church, I shared this. Monday, I dressed regular. Like, I had jeans and shirt. I didn't have, like, you know, the blouses and the dresses and everything. But as I started to continue to come into the house of God and hear the word of God, it didn't only change me on the inward, it changed me on the outside too. So you could notice, like, okay, I'm going. You can see that my shoes changed one week, and then my pants changed one week, maybe into a skirt, or I put on a nice blouse. I'm doing my hair, I'm getting nice. But not only am I adorning my outward.
And that's when we talk about that sanctification part, you know, that process, you know. So let's go to number two. Come on. Number two. You want to read that?
Yeah. Number two said, God is the maker of all. And quote, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Verse two. The lesson says, all people are equal in the value before God.
Bang. It goes right back to just what we were just talking about. It goes back to what we were getting. You want to say something? It goes, that touches right there what we were talking about. Everybody is made in the image of God. What you said earlier, Elder, is we all are born in sin. Every single one of us. And it can be easy to point out the sin in somebody else and forget the sin in ourselves. You know, because somebody may be sinning the way they dress, we may be sinning the way we talk. We may be sinning the way we receive the people. You know, so we have to be mindful of that, definitely in the body of Christ, because we can chase people away. You know, that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so mad at Christ. He was mad at Jesus because he dealt with the very people who they condemned. And here we find ourselves in the body of Christ doing the same thing. We have to give love, and allow them to get that sanctification, allow them to build themselves up from the inside out. You think about your own children. You think about your own children. Listen, I'm speaking for myself. Speaking for myself. Two kids grown, still trying to figure it out. And it's not that they're not seeing integrity, they're not seeing us doing it, doing the things that we're doing, but they have to figure it out for themselves. Now, do we give up on them? No. See, it's easy for us to point the finger at someone who we don't love. And that's why he said love is so important. Because if you got love in your heart, you see past those things. You give them truth and love. Come on, we got a couple of comments.
We don't give up on them, we give them up to them. And the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So the more that we love on them, like that, saying, and the more word we give them, because we're washed by the word, the more cleanly, the more inward cleanly they'll do.
Yes.
When they get the word. So if you just show that love and kindness and you give them the word, period, then they'll come and they'll grow and the sanctification process. Already begun as soon as they start getting the word. It's all there. It's all already in them. It just has to manifest.
You know, that's so important because I know for myself, when I went away, I ain't have word on the inside. I was far from the word, but I know someone was praying for me, covering me. So when I got that opportunity, when I got the word, it was a bubble inside of me. You know, and that's the part that we got to make sure that we do, because even if they don't receive it, because the world tells us, and if you know the word, you're in the world tells us not everybody is going to receive it. They're not going to have a desire for it. And if he tells us mother gonna go against daughter against mother, father against son, mother-in-law against, it's gonna happen in your own family. It's gonna happen in your own family. So we have to be prepared. But what we gotta do is just like she said, we gotta give them to God. We can't do it for him. I tell my son, I can't do it for you, son. I said, but what I can tell you, if you begin to do it now, in the mistakes that you make, I'm here to help you. Because once me and mom are gone, we ain't here to help you no more. So you start now, we here to help you. Grab hold of it now. You know, because once we're gone, that's it. You know, your relationship with God, that's what you're going to have. Because ain't no guarantee anybody else going to do what your mom and dad going to do for you. You know, and those who got parents, we know. We know. All right, number three. It says, the prudent sees danger and takes refuge. And then it says, in verse 3, it says, the prudent sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple, I was simple, keep going, and pay the penalty. Who can relate to that? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. But thank God. Thank God. And it says here, lesson. Wisdom anticipates problems and takes steps to avoid them. Application. Be discerning. Avoid careless decisions and heed red flags. Boy, oh boy. How many of us go through those yellow lights? Boy, oh boy. Then y'all say, I was going too fast. I couldn't slow down. We have excuses on why we went through. You know? Yeah, then when you get the ticket, then you got to deal with the consequences. But that's life. This is the life. And see, one thing about God, he never allows anything to happen to you without giving you warning. Never, ever. Listen, when I was sitting in there for them 13 years and I was murmuring, complaining, and telling God why this and why that, he said, you still have a choice. And I can tell you now, I don't know about you, but God showed me every opportunity that I had a choice to do it differently. I mean, he showed me, when you did this, you had this opportunity to do it this way. When you did that, you had this opportunity. He always gives us a way out. But it's up to us. And that's why we got to use wisdom. Pay attention to those red flags. Use discernment. Come on up, sir.
It's worth more than you originally got it for. So it gains more value. So it has equity. So what you paid for it originally is worth more now.
So you paid the justice and the judgment. Mm-hmm. That's a good value.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So wisdom, as you said, wisdom is so important. And who wisdom we get? God's wisdom. Not our wisdom, because we only know in part. We only know in part. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in his word. Spend time hearing the message of God. You know, because we only know in part. You know, she talked about her grandmother. She got wisdom imparted in her through her grandmother.
You know, I can remember being with my grandmother, sitting down with her, watching her in her garden, doing different things. You know, I ain't no gardener, but I know how to plant some stuff. You know, I've learned some things. You know, and that's how you get wisdom. You gotta be able to sit still. It's too often being sitting still long enough to get some wisdom. Come on.
Like, that's why I appreciate, like, some of the Wednesdays, because I'm not trying to age none of y'all, but I like listening to seasoned people, you know, like, because that's really where you can, like, learn a lot.
Yes.
And that's important. It's important for us to listen to each other. It's important for us to listen to each other because there's wisdom in you. You know, because what you're experiencing now is different from what we experience. You know, so us being able to hear you and you hear us gives each one of us new wisdom and new insight. You know, if we shut it down and say, oh, I can't hear you or what you got to say is not worth it, then we cutting off the wisdom that God has given you. You know, so we have to be open to receive. Definitely when it's truth. You know, we don't want to receive nothing that's not worth nothing, you know. So we want to be around people who's giving us wisdom, giving us things to build on. Amen? Of course you can.
Yeah, it's tough. And I'm taking it back. I'm sorry. Right? It's number two. It's number two when you say God is the maker of all. It's number two when you say God is the maker of all. I always want to tell a personal experience, but I think about that hopefully help somebody. But I take that personally on. I trust God. Not, I used to say I trust God, but I used to put limitations on it. Like, I trust God, but how he going to make this happen right now? Tonight, I need it in the morning. Like, how he going to do that? And what I used to find myself doing is my way. And, you know, sometimes they always fail. My way used to work. But it wasn't good for me.
It worked according to you.
It worked according to me.
Yes.
And I realized that it worked for me. And the world and the enemy is giving them things in reality. You think you get it for my whole time. It's taking you farther away from God. And I realize that just with your relationship, the person you love, your job, and just a whole bunch of stuff, sports, it might work out in your favor, but when you look back at it, like, I was so busy doing this and chasing that. I was chasing the wrong stuff. It was taking me farther away from God.
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm a picture guy. I take a lot of pictures. And I was going through my computer and I had a lot of pictures. And there was a time where every week, me, my wife, my son, we always did something. We always took that time to do something together. You know, and she was like, we don't do that. She said, we became so busy with life, you know. And you don't even realize those things sometimes because you're living according to the world, not according to God. Because God says family first. He gonna take care of those needs. See, but we wanna make the needs first, and then it's gonna take care of the family. But then the family is being missed. You know, you miss those opportunities to be with your kids, your wife, you know, because you're so busy, you know, and that's why it's so important that we have our priorities straight. We got to make sure we have our priorities straight. God is going to take care of the things that we need, you know, so that's very important. Number four, and I think that might be the last one, maybe. Humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches and life. Let's talk about taking care of our needs. In verse 4, it says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. And we were talking about fear. And it's not the fear that you're scared. It's an honor. It's a reverence. It's a reverence like you have for your parents. There's a respect that you have for them that when they're around, you won't be on your best behavior.
go to the Amplified. I'm going to give it to you right now. Amplified says,
it says the reward of humility that is having a realistic view of one's importance and the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Come on, Elder. You don't went to the message Bible, Rob.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, don't break that word.
Okay, go for it.
Those who have never heard that word before have heard it over and over again and will understand it. Reverence means to give all to the Father, to give Him wholly your attention, your heart, your efforts, and you do it with a, we call it to us, a respect. So that means that you never think lower than he, of him than he is. You don't. I want to try to give you an example for this. The kingdom of God is similar to the kingdoms of the earth in many perspectives. So if you were a king in England and you have this great kingdom, everything that happens in the kingdom is dictated by the king, right? And everything the king wants, everybody in the kingdom wants to do. Why? Because they honor him. You see them physically, this is physically, coming to the throne and they bow down before him. Kneel down. A physical example of reverencing. But God is not so concerned about that physical piece as what's in the heart. And how we think about him, that's called reverencing, meaning to wholly want to please the Father.
Yes. And it says here, the lesson, reverence for God and humility opens the door to true blessings. To true blessings. I tell people all the time, I'm living my best life. And not because of me, because of my relationship with God. You know, because in myself, I failed over and over again. But with God, ain't nothing I can't do. You know, and it might not happen in my time, but I know if it's meant for me, it's going to happen. You know, and that's why I say I get excited about what God has in store. And that's why I tell you, when you got a real relationship with God, you can get excited for him. Because he got nothing but goodness for you. Are things going to happen in your life? Yes. Yes, the world tells you. Because you love me, the world is going to hate you. But in spite of it, I'm going to have peace because God has you. You know, and that's what he wants us to have. He wants us to be able to walk in a boldness regardless of what situation we may be facing, what we may be going through, that he has you. He has you. That's how Jesus was able to walk and carry that cross with boldness. Because he knew God had him. And it wasn't until he was on the cross when he had to carry the full burden, he had to be separated from God. When he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because he didn't feel that connection no more. Because he gave it up for us. At that moment. Yes,
come on. I read a scripture this morning, and I think I had talked to you about it, or something similar to it, like this week or last week. But it was, I forget which verse it was from, but I got it right here.
James.
We were talking about, but that's not what this one is. But this was when Jesus was walking through. I think this may have been like after the 40 days and 40 nights. But he said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And he was just saying like,
no, what we're doing, what he did was for us. And that's the same thing God wants us to do, to walk in his presence, regardless of what we're going
even
through.
Even the troubles
that we're going through is to glorify his name.
Yeah.
See, God, listen, can't get accolades in our mess. How can he get glory in our mess? You know, his glory comes through our success in spite of the mess that we might have put ourselves in. You know, I think about my life and where I'm at right now. It's nothing because of me, but everything because of him. I gave myself up. I gave my thoughts up, my feelings up, and allowed his thoughts, his feelings to come forth. Do I have a battle? Yes, we all do. And that's that sanctification process. That's that inside out. You know, but it comes from spending time in his word. Because if you don't spend time in his word and his presence and prayer and giving up those things that are troubling you, because if you're trying to hold on to those things and trying to fix them yourself, if you could have fixed them, I say it all the time, it wouldn't have been a problem. And too often, we don't want to humble ourselves and submit what our weakness is to God. You know, yes, it is good. Because I spoke last week, I spoke this Sunday about Joseph in the pit. See, God gave him a promise, but he found himself in the pit, and he had no idea how he was going to get out of it. But he continued to trust God in spite of, and he didn't go from the pit to the palace right away. He still had to go through more trials and tribulations before he got there. See, so those things that the enemy tried to make stumbling blocks, God wants you to use a big stepping stone.
And actually, God is using a big stepping stone.
No, but because it's our perspective.
That's right. There's a purpose in everything that happens in our lives. We don't always understand the purpose, nor do we always appreciate it, but it's a purpose. And the word says that it all works together for the good.
That's right.
And that means even when he was in that pit, he had to go in the pit. He was all by himself in the pit. Literally, in the dark, by himself, no way out. He had to learn to trust God. I know the Bible does not chronologically put that in order, but the truth is, in human nature, say that if you're in that pit in the dark, and there's no way out, and you got no help, you got to trust in God to do something.
I say, Lord, what you want me to learn from this? What you want me to learn from this? Because it's always, he wants you to get something out of the situation. Like you said, it was a humbling situation because he biting at his nose in the air. I'm the favorite. I'm number one. I was the oldest kid. I know I was like that. You know, I always blamed my brothers and stuff for stuff I did. Yeah, I had to get humble. Yeah.
I wanted to add on to what it's not when you're going through, it's not what you're going through, it's how you're going through. Sometimes God allows us to go through things to see how we're going to react and how we're going to adapt to that situation. Are you going to lean into him or are you going to lean away from him? Are you going to run to him or are you going to run to the sin that looks easier? Like you were saying earlier, you were doing what worked for you, and there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. That's what the word says. So, you know, it's not when you're going through, it's how you're going through. And I don't know how many of us in here are parents, but I'm a parent. And I'm going to do whatever it has to, what I have to do to protect my children. When they're in public, I'm going to cover them. When I get them home, I want to lay into them. I'm going to let them know that they're wrong and this, this, and that. And that's kind of the same way that God treats us.
Yes.
You know, he covers us while we're out there in the world because, like you were saying earlier, Pastor Rob, we all fall. The word says that. We have to guard ourselves. And because Jesus said to go and be witnesses, he didn't say go witnessing door to door. He said be a witness. And be is an actual verb. So that means you have to let your life be that witness. You have to be that integrity. You have to walk in that integrity. So when you're out there and you don't walk in it, God will cover that. But when you get home, it's on.
He gonna deal with
it's
you.
On.
That's
yeah.
right. Yep. You know, and that's the part. And that's the part where we have to be true to ourselves. You know, like I said, I was murmuring, complaining about what I didn't have, but God said you still had a choice.
That's
you
right.
know, and that's the part that we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, let go and let God. You know, we all got some stumbling blocks. We all got some stuff we dealing with. You know, but if we can't fix it, if we haven't learned how to deal with it, we got to give it to someone who can deal with it. You know, and too often we try to hold on to it and fix it ourselves, and we can't. You know, we can't. We don't have the answer. You know, come on, I see you bubbling.
I just want to add on to what you said. When your phone breaks, you don't run to the gas station to get it fixed. You go and you contact the manufacturer, especially if it's an Apple. You go right to the eye store and you let them fix it because they know what it was designed to create. So when you mess up, you have to go back to the one who has the original plan. He knows what the purpose is for you. He knows what plan he has for you because the plan he has for you is different than the plan he has for you. And so it's important for us to go back to God and say, okay, God, I messed up. I think I messed up. What is it that I was supposed to do? How should I have handled it? Help me handle it better the next time. And if I fail the next time, help me to get better from there. Because again, you can't expect perfection. You have to continue to be persistent.
Sanctification, walking in. you heard, listen to what you just said. That is powerful. They could fix your phone at the gas station, but it won't be the right parts. That, oh my goodness. Okay, one more question.
And even when we do go to the gas station to get our phone fixed, say Apple. After you, someone else touches it, Apple won't even touch it.
Wow.
They won't even touch it because it's been tampered.
Oh, but can I say something? But thank God. Thank God. Even if we've been tampered with, he still opened the door for us. Amen. Oh my goodness. And still, and we'll make it right for you. That's right. Oh my God! Listen, listen. Look, we only made it through four scriptures. So we made it through four scriptures. So we're gonna stop right here, right now. But I want to invite you out again next week. We're gonna continue with Proverbs, and we're gonna continue these last couple of scriptures. But we're going to continue through the whole book of Proverbs. So we want you to come be a part of what we're doing here at Harvest. Please come. We want to hear your voice. We want you to share, interact with us. You know, it sounds like we're having a whole lot of fun here. Believe you me, we are having fun in God.
That's right.
In God, you know. And we want you to share that experience. I know you're watching out there, but being in the presence is totally different. So please, and as we say all the time, the ministry, the word is free. It doesn't cost a thing. However, ministry does cost. And what we're doing here, keeping the lights on, doing what we're doing, it costs. So if God placed on your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. Those here in the audience, you can sow a seed. You're going to put it up on the screen. You can lay it on the altar. It's right over there on the side. You can sow a seed. And as I said, we're going to have Biblical Finances, God's Way, starting on August 5th. You can go online to sign up. You can see it on our Facebook page.
Also on our website, just scan the QR code and you can sign up for the Biblical Finance class starting on August 5th. So we would love to have you be a part of it. We're dealing with home buying, we're dealing with banking, we're dealing with investing, we're dealing with insurance. You know, there's so many things that if you don't know, you're not a part of. And we want you to be, God wants you, not we, God wants you to be knowledge. Knowledge is power, you know, and we want you guys, God wants you to be operating in your full power. Tuesday, August 5th. At from 6:30 to 7:30. You know, we partnered with New York Life Insurance. We got two people, two young women who are on fire for God and want to give back. I got a real estate agent. She's partnered with us doing the home buying aspect of it. And we got a young entrepreneur who does finances for the schools and privately, and she want to come and teach. And I'm a part of it, giving biblical perspective of it, and also the investment part of it, you know. So we want you guys to be a part of it August 5th. You can look at it online. You probably see it scroll through our screens, but to sign up, it's on Eventbrite. All you got to do is sign up and be a part of it. Amen? So with that, all heart, minds, and